The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
First time we've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do!
Taylor won, he scores! And the city ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it!
Yeah!
Hello and welcome back to this week's edition of Red Side of the Trent, here to go through the disappointment and controversial defeat at the hands of Everton. I'm your host, Adam Wicklow. Joining me on this one are Christian Brown, Rhys Lane and Lee Clark. We will be reacting to Forrest's many statements given to about the PGMOL and everything else, so we'll go through that in due course. First of all, chaps, to get right into it. Lee, as you were not there yesterday, the only one actually, I'm going to give you the team kind of ordeal. Yates and Omobamadile were omitted, out for Dominguez and Musa Niakate. What was your initial reactions to those changes?
I think it was certainly the changes that I guess we'd been crying out for, particularly in midfield. It's funny because I actually think if everything had not happened as it did afterwards and we'd just lost a game fair and square, I actually think there'd have been more tweets saying, okay, maybe Ryan Yates isn't the problem, because that's just the nature of our fan base on social media. But it didn't really work. I actually thought, I was quite pleased to see Niakate back in. I thought it was a game that might suit someone like him, his experience as well, in that sort of big game environment. I actually think it was a game that was tailor-made for the Sangare that we thought we'd signed. I can't see him playing again this season now, Sangare, to be fair. It's a real shame what's happened there, because it would appear that a few bad games for a player new into a country is enough to kind of have fans booing you off the pitch and that sort of stuff. So, interesting to see what happens with him. But, yeah, I thought the team was pretty good. I thought it was one that would definitely give us every chance of getting a positive result. But, obviously, it didn't pan out like that.
Just to add another question, actually, Lee. In hindsight, do you think it was right for Musa Niakate to come back in? Because I think myself and maybe quite a lot of other fans will agree that it did upset the balance slightly with him having to keep coming back on his left foot and not really being able to play that like a channel ball with his right?
I mean, you guys were there, but I actually don't think Niakate was bad at all, to be fair. I certainly don't think the goals weren't his fault. I certainly don't think if Omobamadele had played it, the result and the game, how it panned out, would have been any different. Yeah, we might have got the ball quicker a little bit, but ultimately, I'm sure we'll come on to it, we still had a couple of really good chances to score. So I don't think... I think there's much of a muchness when it comes to Omobamadele and Niakate. I think we've said on the podcast before that we'd happily support, you know, Omobamadele playing for the rest of the season because he's young. He'll make mistakes, but he is going to be one player that probably will stay with us even if we get relegated. So I would have supported whichever he'd picked. But yeah, I didn't see it as a major issue. Even with how the game panned out, I didn't see it as a major problem.
That's fair enough. I just wanted your thoughts on it. Reese, I'm going to give you the first penalty appeal of the day. But before that, it was quite an even kind of game, pretty slow in some respects, not really like the tempo of a Premier League game. But maybe that's the quality of both sides, I guess. But 24 minutes in and Giorina goes down under an innocuous challenge from Ashley Young, who is the heart soul of today's podcast, because he's involved in every single incident. What did you make of that? Probably seeing it more so on a replay rather than in the ground at the time, because I thought it was just kind of one of those that he didn't get to. But I don't know what your thoughts were.
Well, me and Christian couldn't see anything in the ground. So I'd when people was putting it half time or whatever on the phone, I was like, what other penalty shot are they on about? I've not seen another penalty shot. So obviously watching the replay, it's one of them that probably when we were growing up as kids you describe as soft. Like that kick for me is not enough to make somebody go down having played the game. But you know, when they brought VAR in, they opened up this can of worms instead of using it for clear and obvious errors. Oh, we're going to scrutinise absolutely everything, and we've seen plenty of them being given, and that's the reality of it. So there's definitely a case of after that. I mean, I'm not going to steal the thunder on the other guys on the other penalties. And just to touch on Niakate as well, I think something we have said on this pod is that we'd like to kind of see partnerships together, especially at centre-back. So to bring him back, and I didn't think he played too badly at all, and I like Niakate, but to kind of bring him back when he's not played for, got to be a couple of months now, hasn't it? For such a big game, and also on his weaker side. Yeah, it wasn't the right decision that for me. I would have stuck with Amabadadele personally, but that isn't the reason why we lost. But that's how I describe that first penalty for me. There's definitely a claim there without a doubt. It's probably subjective in the sense that is it enough to make him go down? Probably not. But we've seen so many of them given, and you can guarantee if that kick is on Diogo Jota on Wednesday night at Goodison, the VAR is probably calling Anthony Taylor over and giving it. And that's the reality.
Yeah. Christian, we're going to move on to what comes 5 minutes later after Forest don't get that appeal for. They fail to clear their lines, and Idrissa Garnagay picks the ball up on the edge of the box and takes aim. And I mean, you can't take any away from the finish, but I feel like there can be a lot more done to prevent the goal, starting with probably Morgan Gibbs-White, maybe end it with Danilo. I don't know, but what were your thoughts at the time?
To be honest, I thought, actually, first off, I'll address Scott in the comments. So Scott's actually correctly clocked that I am wearing a Rage Against the Machine t-shirt, and with good reason as well, which is a very subtle reference. I'm glad if someone picked it up. Very jealous you see them live as well. But going to the game at hand, the issue for me was before that, because as we're taught when we're kids, stop the cross, stop the goal. And I actually felt very sorry for Neco Williams in this moment, because you can see Reina's lost. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know whether to go with his man or try and cut him off. And it leaves Williams isolated. So a ball comes in without much pressure. Obviously, we sort of deal with it questionably, but enough to get out of the box. That's fine. That's the first wave done. What annoys me is the next bit, because why is Gay not being closed down? Like, Danilo just sort of stands there, isn't really sure whether to go run at him or not, and in the end he doesn't. And as we found out last season, when we first got from, like, in the first few weeks of the season, like, if you give Premier League players time and space to shoot from outside the box, they're very likely to hurt you. Like, it isn't like the Championship where you get some clogger just punting it into the stand and everyone goes way or anything like that. Like, these players are exceptionally good at what they do. And, you know, there's nothing. I saw a few people sort of say as well that, oh, you know, Sells could do more and he's rooting his line. I was like, oh, that's just nonsense. Like, he's literally come off the inside of the post. There's nothing he can do. He can't get there. So, but yeah, I mean, the issue for me, I just feel that, you know, we should have learned that lesson last season. We did learn it for the second half of the season, but at that point, it's too late. It just feels like there's one thing we do, and then we sort of, it's just like, we can't just be a complete side. Like, there's something somewhere that goes wrong. Like set pieces were the big thing coming into this game. We dealt with every set piece pretty well. The ones that weren't awful from Gomez, of course. So we actually dealt with every set piece well. When it came to open play, we did that very well as well. But he clearly forgot, someone forgot, oh, you know, long range shots. Let's try and like maybe close those down a bit, lads. So no, that message didn't get through apparently. And that's just very frustrating. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was questioning why no one closed down the ball. I mean, rewatching it, I didn't realize Morgan Gibbs White was so close to Idris Gueye, and he just looked half-hearted as well. It was just all a catastrophe from the middle of the park in that respect. And I know people will clamor of like, well, this is why Yates should play, but I don't think that would have been prevented regardless anyway of who was playing central midfield. To be honest, yesterday it was poor from all accounts. But we tried to pick ourselves up, Lee. We went trying to get back into the game, and Wood had an unbelievable chance. And to be fair, and credit to Jordan Pickford, though he does look like an absolute lunatic when he's played, he's having a fight with himself half the time. He makes a world-class save, and there's no denying it. And I generally thought the net was going to bulge, and here we was going to go, we was going to get right back into it, and the Everton fans would have turned. But that's why he's England's number one at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually think it's karma. The amount of Forest fans I see on social media and talk to in person, for that matter, who tell me that Jordan Pickford is absolutely rubbish and he shouldn't be in the England squad, is frankly laughable. I like Pickford. I think he's a good keeper. He does appear to have little arms. There's no getting away from that. I think he takes that kind of insult in his stride. But yeah, I like Pickford. I think he's good, and I just think it's karma that he's made a save like that against us. Not save of the season's closed as far as I'm concerned. Excellent. Just so annoying that it's happened against us. But like I say, it just saves half of the Twitterati right for slagging him off on a weekly basis and saying that Aaron Ramsdale, who's not even playing for Arsenal, should be England's number one.
Were you a little bit annoyed with our attack yesterday from watching it on the telly? Because I just felt like we didn't cross the ball in. We didn't shoot. I mean, that was the only save Pickford really had to make on it yesterday as well, which really annoyed me.
I tell you what actually really, really annoyed me, and this is not me throwing him under the bus because he's been really good this season, but time and time again, Nico Williams got into some fantastic areas and we gave him the ball and his end product just was dreadful, absolutely dreadful. And you could almost see players kind of, you know, saying to him, come on, he just had to get them into an area. I think, again, we've seen pundits say, like former Forest players, this, that and others, say that all you've got to do when you're out wide is stick it into that area, especially when we're playing Chris Wood up front. When we're playing a one-year up front, it's a little bit different because obviously we know his style's not quite the same as Wood's. But when Wood's in there, we saw the goal against Brentford. There was nothing on and Hudson-Odoi's just whipped it into the box and the next minute it's in the back of the net. We just didn't do that enough yesterday. Williams wasn't the only one that was guilty of that, but I just think we overcomplicate things sometimes with our attacking play.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. His delivery in the last few weeks has not been the best. And I think that is something where last season we were so critical of his defending, but this season we've probably been more critical of his attacking, which is complete opposite. Right. And you can't have the best of both worlds sometimes. But no, I do agree with you. Reese, I'm going to move on to you for penalty number two. It's like the generation game, this is. 44 minutes in, Morgan Gibbs-White delivers an absolute exceptional cross to the back stick for Callum Hudson-Odoi. He tries to put it back across and Ashley Young has palmed it, to say the least. What's your view on it all? And also give a reference to the Coventry City penalty that was awarded them 2 hours later in the FA Cup semi-final.
Well, I was driving home, so I've not seen that. I think I probably would have watched the highlights had Coventry had beat United. It's just a shame United had gone through in them. But again, definite shout for a penalty. And like you just said, Adam, people said it's similar. One's been given, one hasn't. I don't know. I mean, I think we've got a really good case for a penalty there, personally. But what you'll get from the VAR is, well, the ref on the pitch hasn't given it, so I'm not basically going to overrule my mate. And that's why it hasn't been given is the reality again. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys have... I think I might have sent it in our Twitter group, but there's a screenshot of Callum Hudson-Odoi appealing, and then it shows you all the Everton fans in the backdrop, and you can see by their faces they knew they was in trouble. They thought they was in trouble. Not one of them's laughing it off. Oh, yeah, you know, on to the next one kind of thing. I think they thought it was a penalty. And yet again, yeah, we hadn't we hadn't had it given.
I mean, Ashley Young's reaction is like so clear and obvious that it's a penalty, because he's literally thinking like, I've just got away with that.
But you only have to see by his post-match interview when he was basically laughing about it. And then obviously, you know, we've seen the tweet today, which is a lot of front for a guy who's bird pooed in someone's mouth. But that's another discussion. But they got away with it, and then they knew it. You know, everyone was in, wasn't it, ironically. So to get, yeah, you can kind of accept one, but to have three decent, solid penalty shots and not get none, you can see why the questions are being raised personally.
I mean, Lee, I can see you want to say something about this one, so go ahead, because you're the only one who can really give a reason of
don't
why.
Defend that,
why
not...
I'm not going to defend it. I am going to defend the grand scheme of the handball thing. The only I'm not affording them any sympathy because it was absolutely scandalous. But who actually knows what constitutes deliberate handball? They need to strip the law back to basics for me and make it that it's got to be deliberate again. For me, the key element with that one, forgetting the obviously the refs can't look at the people's reactions in the stands, that sort of stuff, his arm actually goes towards the ball. If he doesn't do that, then it goes through to our player. And I just don't understand how. I mean, with the greatest of respect, I watched the game with my wife. Knowledge on football is, she will tell you, pretty limited, to say the least. And even she sort of went, how's that not handball? I mean, these are supposedly... And then you've got Dermot Gallagher defending it on Ref Watch by saying, Stuart Atwell gets a lot of Champions League games. Right, okay. Brilliant. Why? If he's not getting... I mean, why did it take 15 seconds to... Let's get on with the game. Why is it every time it's Liverpool, every time it's Man U? In the Man U game, and 2 or 3 hours later, it got checked for about 3 or 4 minutes because it was going to be giving Coventry a penalty in the last minute against Man United. I mean, Nico Williams is probably going to get banned or whatever, but he's hit the nail on the head. Every big six club gets that as a penalty, regardless of whether we know what handball is or not.
That clown Spanish referee who stunk the place at that Champions League game, he gets plenty of Champions League games. Doesn't mean he's a good ref, does it? In terms of how he performs on the pitch.
It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous argument anyway, because I think I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying UEFA is completely different. If something happens in the box, everyone pretty much gets checked, whereas it has to be clear and obvious in this league because obviously we have to protect all the referees and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't make any sense.
The problem is, like I said in my last comment, is the Premier League opened the Pandora's box with VAR when they brought it in. It was, oh yeah, we're going to use it for clear and obvious errors. What did they do? They decided to use it for absolutely everything. And then you see these type of decisions, given some weeks, given not, and that's why people get the backs up.
Yeah. Well, moving swiftly on, second half, Everton had a few chances. We kind of had, like, we started quite well, I thought, in terms of like having a lot of the ball. 55 minutes in, Christian. Callum Hudson-Odoi races through after a fantastic ball from Danilo, I have to say. Ashley Young takes him out. There is no question that he gets any of the ball. And that's waved off as well, just to top it all off.
I mean, I'm sure Reece will testify, but I think it was at that moment my head just fully went. Like, I what can you say to that? I mean, the slide tackle from the iron ball was outlawed in the 90s, for God's sake. Like, to say that he's got the ball, he's gone through the man to get the ball. It couldn't be any more blatant. It doesn't matter what level of football you play at. If you go through the back of someone, you either get the ball or not, it's a foul. Like, he's just been caught out young because Hudson-Odoi has gone past him and bang, he hasn't even tried to win the ball. He's gone right, I'm stopping him. That's it. It's just so cynical and so blatant. The fact they haven't even, like, I mean, this is where it becomes like, this is why I see, like, when people say, like, oh, you know, the Prem want us down, this sort of stuff. Obviously, you don't want to believe that. You just want to believe it's incompetence. But when you see something like that, as blatant as that, that is something that it wouldn't matter whether it's the other 19 teams in the league or any other team around the world, they get that given. There's no doubt in my mind, because it is clear law. You cannot do that. Like, if you're going to, like, for these refs doing their badges and stuff like that, if someone puts it up on a screen, anyone who says that isn't a foul, it's kicked off the course. You know, it's like, no, sorry, son, ref ain't for you. Like, if you cannot see that as a foul, you should not be in the industry. It's as simple as that. And, you know, Anthony Taylor, we've said it before about him, the top 1% of refs in the country, that clown would not be fit to ref a Polish Sunday League game. He's awful, absolutely awful. And Atwell's even worse. Like, if the thing is, like, Taylor's seen it and gone, now he's got the ball. Right, that's fair enough. That's shocking. Like, that's just terrible eyesight. But Atwell to see that, and clearly he's gone through the back of him and go, actually, you know what? I'm not going to do anything there. Like, I'm sorry, again, strip them both. They both shouldn't be refereeing if that's the case. If you can look at that and say that isn't a foul, like, that is the one that, for me, was the one. The other two, you can sort of say, like, the first one, like Reece alluded to earlier, maybe a little bit soft. He goes down a bit easy. You can sort of say, okay, fine, being completely objective. Yes, you've seen them given, but fine. If you're saying it's a high threshold for VAR now, fine. Second one, the handball, obviously, like as we discussed earlier, the Wan-Bissaka one gets given for Man United, but equally the day before, Jack Grealish had one, which is even worse, arguably, and that wasn't given, where he sort of just bats his arm onto the ball from inside the wall. So, you know, I understand that there is, like Lee was alluding to, there's inconsistencies there because no one fully knows the law, whether you're official or not, which again says an awful lot about the state of refereeing in this country, that they don't understand a very simple handball law. But that one, it doesn't matter, like, you know, what language you're from, what nationality you were from, whatever part of the world you're from, that is a foul, that is a penalty. There cannot be any excuse for that whatsoever. And what annoys me is those two will go home, they'll get their £1,500 game bonus and they'll have a Premier League game next week. No repercussions whatsoever. On top of £100,000 salary. It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. I'm so glad. Like, this is why, like, obviously we'll come on to it later. Forest have basically, there's like a nuclear button and like a special nuclear button. They've obviously gone for that one. But you know what? I don't even care anymore because they've actually highlighted something that this shouldn't be happening. Like, we were the best league in the world. The officials were not this bad 10, 15 years ago. They just weren't. We've had more bad decisions this season than we had in the last 5 years, at least. And we just meant to sit there and take it. Like do what the good boys do. Go, oh, okay, we'll moan about it. I guarantee if Nuno went out on TV, we did nothing else and just said, oh, you know, the decisions were really bad, we'd be told, oh, Forest are at it again, get over it. Like, at least we've actually alluded to the fact that this is seriously wrong. And, you know, I'm really glad the club have said, we want the audio recordings. Because as now, one of three things will happen as a result of those recordings. One, it will highlight that, you know, it will show how incompetent they are. Two, there actually will be a cover-up and that will be exposed. Or three, they won't show the audio at all. And then that will tell the whole world the Premier League got something to hide. So we've actually boxed them into a corner now. That is scandalous how that hasn't been given. It is one of the worst decisions. I say it is worse than the body decision. At least that you can sort of say with some stupid replay from an angle, you might be able to say, oh, you know what, he's gone over the ball. That one, yeah, there's no excuse for that. He's literally gone through the back of him. There's no, he's taken the ball by Hudson-Odoi's ankle. There is no, I can't, like, oh, it's just pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. My head's still hot.
I'm gonna stop you there, Christian, before someone's got to sew your head back on, which is fair enough, because I think you're completely valid and you've got a right to be aggrieved, as we all have. Lee, I can see you want to chime in as well with this one.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, Christian's hit the nail on the head, really. I just think that the bits of audio that we need to hear are from the third one, because to me, it's got to be a clear and obvious error. Remember, they always preach this clear and obvious thing. So the first two, fair enough. The first one, if we get the audio, we know what it'll go like. There's not enough contact for him to fall over like that. Fair enough, I kind of get that. The second one, his arm's in a natural position for how he's running to close the ball down. It's complete rubbish, but again, you can kind of get your head around that. It's a little bit subjective. The third one is absolutely ridiculous on the basis that Anthony Taylor points to the ball. I mean, at my level, when I get observed and mentored, I get told not to point to the ball, because if anyone's recording it and they'll show that he's not actually took the ball, you just look silly. So, but at that level, it gets watched. So in theory, it should be foolproof, shouldn't it? Yeah, right. Yeah, so he points to the ball and you think, one replay it took and I thought, he didn't get the ball. So it's got to be a clear and obvious error. And then you look for the second replay and you think, now we need to look if he does actually foul him, or, you know, has Hudson-Odoi gone down, basically dived. He's completely clattered through the back of it. So it's a clear and obvious error. I don't get it. I'm just absolutely baffled. Very, very, very bizarre and very, very, very poor.
Yeah, well, sticking with yourself, Lee, because we are going to revisit this and the statements and everything, so I'm sure we'll dive right into it as well. 5 minutes later, Gibbs White is given a glorious opportunity, and for me, I don't know why he's gone to try and bend it around Pickford rather than just lob it over him. Yeah, he's been guilty of this a lot this season where he's just really rash with his shooting. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's not a new one for Gibbs White, is it? We've said before that if he's worth 50 million now, if he sorts his finishing out and becomes a 10-15 goal a season man, then the world's his oyster, literally, because he's pretty much got everything else. Maybe you could add that he needs to be a little bit more consistent with it, but I suppose scoring more goals would come with that territory. So, yeah, it's I totally agree with you. I just think he had to... I think, yeah, it was a weird day yesterday. I found myself agreeing with something that Andy Inchcliffe said on CoComs, which made me feel a little bit dirty. But, yeah, he said the same. He said that... I don't know why he's gone to be so precise. He's just got to lob it over to him. Pickford's in no man's land. He's just basically got to chip it over him and hope that it goes on target, which it probably would have done. So, yeah, it was... yeah, a bit frustrating. A little bit rash for a player who's capable of kind of... You look what he did to against Fulham with his little flicks and his little touches and little split second movements to, you know, take him away from opposition players. His finishing is really like the opposite. It's not calm and composed at all usually. So, yeah, it's definitely something he needs to work on.
I mean, his decision making was about the same as the refs yesterday. So, well, kind
correct.
Of... Put it in the even column now, I guess. Reece just finishing off with the game. 76th minute and Everton have killed it with... I mean, you can't take anything away from Dwight McNeil, but again, where the heck are our midfield?
Well, I mean, we said this, me and Christian said this in the ground to each other, that it was a concern that it wasn't... This is before the first goal. It was a concern we was allowing them to travel with the ball through the middle and not close it down. And I totally get Lee's point there, is why you kind of want a specialist number six in there to screen your back four and block them type of things and obviously cut out them channels. But, you know, what can I say about it? I mean, it's a good strike. It's a very good strike. I have to give him his due. He scored a really good goal at ours as well, McNeil. But like you say, Adam, when you're not closing it down, and like Christian said earlier, you could get punished at this level. I mean, it's kind of... Danilo's kind of slid to block it, but the ball's kind of gone under him, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas if he'd have probably maybe slid on the floor and put his leg up, he might have blocked it. But, you know, and then it's pretty pinpoint, isn't it? It's hit one post, as it hit the other post and gone in. And that's kind of your luck, isn't it? When you know your luck's out, it's, like I say, hit both posts and gone in. Probably for us, that hits both posts and comes back out. But it was a great strike. But, you know, as we did last season, we just didn't close it down quick enough, did we? And and ironically, he nearly scored another one a couple of minutes after, where thankfully he hit it straight down the throat of Sells, because I thought he was going to ping it in again, because he hit that one really clean. But like I say, thankfully it was down Sells' throat. But once that second had gone in, you know, to be honest, once in my this is why I predicted Everton to win last week on the pod, and we said the first goal was key. I know it's cliche, but once they got ahead out of nothing, you knew it was going to be a long way back for us. And once they got the second, that was game over. Even with the 9 minutes out of time, I never really thought we looked like scoring, to be honest. You know, we've had the really good save from Pickford and the chance second half. Apart from that, Pickford's had nothing to do. And to be fair, it's probably ideal for them, really. That was really sad to see what better, and hopefully he makes a full recovery. But it kind of just took everything out of the game into that injury, and you know, they saw it out, because Everton keep clean sheets. I said that last week. They've kept more than double clean sheets, and us, once they got ahead, they saw it out well, to be fair to them. I mean,
yeah.
I think something what typified them was Branthwaite absolutely crunched Gibbs White a challenge, and we kind of didn't see really much of that from us yesterday, did we? And that kind of set the tone, really. But yeah, apart from the decisions overall, the game, I thought they had more fight than us, and they put, that's probably why. Well, that's why they won the game, really.
Yeah, I mean, would disagree with that. Sorry, what I will say is that on the balance of play, like, they've scored two goal a month contenders to beat us. We've had the two best chances of the game. We haven't conceded from a fallacy, which is haunting us all season, and we've completely limited the open play. I think Calvert-Lewin had what, one header that was comfortable.
Yeah, they had the Calvert-Lewin chance where he shot wide. He should have really scored there.
I mean, okay, that's one chance compared to the... Was that better than the two that we made? I don't think so. Like, I mean, you can say it's down to fight, but realistically, another day, we could have won that game 2-1.
Yeah, we could have done, but like
well,
I said,
with the goals they scored.
I'll interject, I kind of
see both of you's point there. I think it would be nice to kind of lose a game and us finish with six players getting cautioned, and or just one player doing a Branthwaite and absolutely snapping someone in two and putting him in the front row, proverbially speaking. But I do agree with Christian as well in the sense that I think there's a lot of kind of, not myths, that's not the right term, but I saw someone today saying, we don't score goals. Well, under Nuno, we've not actually been bad at scoring goals. It's yesterday, we should have had two chances to score from penalties, let's face it. I mean, and I totally agree with what you've said, Christian. It's a game where we've actually sorted our crap out a little bit in terms of, you know, defending set pieces against the best team who takes set pieces in the league. Much like we did against West Ham when everyone was worried about Ward-Prowse a couple of months ago. But it's yesterday, we've gone back to last season where we've just conceded two absolute bangers. It's just really frustrating. And I find it kind of difficult to put my finger on what it is that we need to do better. Because in certain games, we do something really well. And then in certain games, it's other stuff that kind of stops us getting points.
There wasn't loads in the game, but how many times have we won games in the Prem where it's been a really, really tight game and we've edged it? We always seem to be on the other side of it, and it's always either a set piece mistake or it's either we let someone shoot from outside the box and we get turned over. We just can't seem to grind out that gritty result when we need it. And that it's like last week, Wolves were there for the taking. What did we do? We drew 2-2, and they didn't really. What, they have two chances, really. And it's just frustrating.
I think this is where, like you said, Christian, about us not being having a complete performance very often. I mean, we got one against West Ham, we got one against Fulham to some extent. But this is part and parcel of the game. When you don't get those decisions either go your way, because they're part of the game. If we get a penalty and get a goal straight away back from going 1-0 down and one before half time and then one after half time, it flips the game on its head. Suddenly the crowd turns, we get our tails up, the football's a little bit better. It's all key factors into how it goes in a football match. It just happens. Unfortunately, it's really like stung us yesterday. And I understand that everyone's frustrations with it, because all we want is Forest to win, don't we, at the end of it?
The problem is for us, we can play when you know, nothing's against us, like Fulham. Fulham rocked up, they let us do what we want and we turn them over. When it gets down to nitty-gritty, I just don't think we've got it in us to just grind the results out, what we need, personally.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
We'll see. It's all right. We've only got Man City on Sunday.
Well, the likelihood of picking up results seems more doable against someone like them. One we've completely got no. When we're right off complete hope. But we'll get onto some slept on it thoughts, and then we'll have some reactions to the statements and what have you. So we'll just play the jingle.
Red side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
Kez, slept on it. We are the Rebel City, and the statement should be wholeheartedly supported by the fan base. The performance was poor, but Everton's performance was equally poor. Neither team deserved to take anything from the game. One team deserved to take three penalties, but this was denied. Yummy Bear was always going to be a fight. They scored from two swingers and created nothing else. We missed two sitters. Then the Luton fan on VAR, which was raised by the club and ignored. Missed three Stonewall pens. Yes, we weren't great today, but was a disgrace by the officials. Michael Cooper slept on it, three blatant pens and another half. Shouts for a handball and a pen on Wood. That don't take away how average we were. Poor on the ball and played into their hands, lumping balls forward sometimes. Think Nuno needs to go at the end of the season. Mason, in terms of the game, we were okay. Two poor goals to concede, but at this point, I've given up with VAR and refereeing. Shambolic and a disgrace. Can see why the club have tweeted it and what they did. Do not mind it one bit. Can't wait to beat City next week. Cape and Ossett in function. We offered Yates a sacrifice to the VAR gods, but that failed. All we need to do to survive is match Luton's results. We're doing that. Don't let the incidents and controversies distract us from another poor, poor performance and result. Danny Tring, both teams didn't seem bothered. Generally, two pot shots, the difference. So many bad performances. I'm not one to blame the officials, sorry. However, we should have had three penalties. It's really down to how bad Luton are if we stay up. Carl Booth, we are where we are because we simply don't create enough clear opportunities. Beaten today by two pot shots from outside the box that we didn't close down. We can bemoan VAR and officials all we like, but we never did anything with the ball when we had it. This week's been rough. Osh Jones, we can point to an embarrassing display from VAR as a distraction from our own embarrassing performance, but we ultimately don't create enough and we are so casual and lax in defence, it's unreal. The time and space we allow opposition is an unacceptable sleepwalk into relegation. Reece Coy, ignore VAR, it's mass very poor performance. NFFC hold the PGAML to account, but refs and the fans get crucified for doing it at a player level. With that said, Morgan's White so poor, Niakati looks uncomfortable at right centre-back. Sol should save the first. Absolutely tucked up by a terrible team. Come on, you Reds with a question mark. Last of all, but no means least, Tom Newton, embarrassing week finish off by a rinse and recycle gutless performance. Don't shoot, you don't win games. Yes, we didn't get those decisions, but with how the club has conducted itself recently, we are not going to get the decisions passive from the touchline transfers onto the pitch. Thank you very much for getting your slept on it thoughts. We do appreciate that. Sorry, we can't weed everyone else's out. I think a couple of like mixed in terms of like performance, because for me, I don't think we were awful. I don't think Everton were good either. And I think if we'd won that game, Everton would have probably said, well, Forest didn't need to do very much to beat us. And that's exactly how I feel about Everton's beating us yesterday. They didn't do very much to beat us, and which got on the wrong end of decisions and two shots that could have been avoided going in. But I did want everyone's reaction, obviously, to the statements Forest put out. I mean, the one immediately got really badly received by numerous people, including pundits and everything else. You had Gary Neville saying Clattenburg should resign and everything else. What were your thoughts to it, first of all, Lee?
I thought you might come to me first. What I would say is I do have a bit of trouble with openly calling someone a cheat. I think that is a very poor look from a professional club account. Whatever you think of Stuart Atwell, whatever you think of Anthony Taylor, I always maintain that no referee at any level goes onto a pitch, A, giving a monkeys about the outcome of a game of football, and B, with the actual intention to cheat, so to speak. And I stick by that. I think we've got a situation where I'll get lynched for this, what I'm about to say, but I actually feel a little bit sorry for Stuart Atwell, taking away all of the decisions that he's made. I don't ever think he should have been put in that situation yesterday. You know what people are like in this day and age. He'll be getting all sorts of absolute crap thrown at him now from thugs, from just people who have no place even watching football. That's just the nature of society. So I don't agree with that. I thought that bit was really poor from a professional club account. What I would say is, what other option have Forest got? Well, their statement today, I think, is very good. I think it's worded better. I think it's almost like maybe, again, don't quote me on this, but it's almost like Nick DiMarco's actually said, would you like me to write something for you? Because it just oozes class. The statement that came out today about 4 o'clock is the one that should have gone out at about 4:30 yesterday for me. I think it's less in the pub, as Jamie Carragher called it, let's not get started about Jamie Carragher in class, though, eh? But yeah, I thought that was really poor. I thought the tweet was really poor. I don't think I'm on my own in thinking that. And it's purely because of the cheat allegation. I think that's, there's a way and means of doing things. One thing I do have a problem with is other clubs' fans jumping on saying, oh, well, what about the decision we had? Yeah, we get that everyone gets shafted. So is it not a case where all 20 clubs, all 14 other clubs, let me rephrase that, who seem to get shafted more often than not, should come together and start being a bit more proactive with their, you know, demanding, you know, voice recordings and that sort of stuff. But yeah, there's a way to do that. And I think the way that Forest did it at 4 o'clock today was a lot better than the one that they did at 4 o'clock yesterday.
Reece, what did I mean, you add on to what Lee's got on. I just got an added question. What did you make of the whole he said she said incident of Clattenburg potentially advising Howard Webb that Stuart Atwell's allegiances are to Luton, and then now Sky and BBC and other media outlets actually saying, well, no, Forest never asked that? Like, what have you made of that, as well as what the statements were as well?
Well, it's just like you said, Adam. It's he said, she said, someone's lying somewhere. You know what I mean? Someone's lying, because it's both opposite ends of the spectrum of what people are saying. I totally agree with Lee in the sense that why have the PGMOL appointed somebody who factually, this is factually because I had a look, has not been involved in any Luton game ever. Not the, just this season, ever, right? Which is fair enough because it's the first season of the Prem, but this season in the Prem with Luton, he's not been involved at all with them, right? So there's clearly, you'd say, a conflict of interest. So why would the PGMOL decide to have him as the VAR ref in a game between two sides who are the next up in the relegation battle to Luton? And especially with the complaining Forest have done this season, surely they'd think, oh God, if we appoint Atwell and he gives Forest a bad decision, then they're going to find out about this and they're going to be on it. I just, you know, is that organisation brain dead or something? It does. And this is why you've got these conspiracy questions now, because of that decision. If it had been some random ref from Newcastle, there isn't no conspiracies like this. That is a Luton Town fan, is it? That decision's ridiculous. On the statement, I mean, coming out of the ground, you know, people thought there's been a tweet up. I mean, when I read it, I was like, Jesus. You know, but it's from a professional club, no, it's something you can't do, because you're not going to come away from it looking good. It's just, you know, PR-wise, you're not going to come away from that looking good. But the kind of values behind it is the frustrations of what we all feel and many other football fans feel as well, because we've gone down the correct channels. We've got told basically to do one, get on with it. We then appoint Mark Clattenburg, and then you get idiots saying, oh, it's because we've appointed him. Well, no, we was getting bad decisions before he was appointed. That's why we appointed him. You know, in my opinion, appointing him is a waste of time, but that is the reason why the club appointed him. And I just have to laugh at the media, because all they've done since VAR has been introduced and all they do to referees is slag them off and with VAR ridicule it to every single week, and a lot of the time with reason as well. And then a club calls out the decisions, and it's, you get idiots like Adrian Durham on TalkSport, who had a weekly section slagging off VAR decisions, saying, oh yeah, the book should be thrown at Forest. You know, it's just laughable. And then you've got that. And then you've got Gary Neville, who's just, because he's been on Dragon's Den a couple of times, now thinks he's the unelected mayor of Manchester, standing on his soapbox, just spouting nonsense, just shouting the loudest about, oh, Mark Clattenburg should resign. You know, what does it matter to him if Mark Clattenburg's working for Nottingham Forest? Because I'm sure, knowing Gary Neville's morals, he'd accept a job at Nottingham Forest if he was giving him a paycheck, because he soon buggered off to Qatar to take their money after slagging it off. So all these people in the media now, at the end of the day, they're hypocrites. And yeah, it's not a good statement, the word in that, because like Lee said, yeah, it's very the frustrations of us fans, but we've gone down every channel, and what kind of, and it's still happening, and it's, and you can accept it, you know, it's part and parcel of football. You can accept if it's once, but it's been half a dozen to 10 times a season. And it's nearly every single week. And what more do referees need to get decisions right? They're literally sat there watching a monitor, got replays of every angle, and they still can't get it right. And then all we get is, oh, they just had a bad day at the office. Well, a bad day at the office happens too many times. And like Christian said, this is the league in biggest league in the world with the most money. They've got to get, they can't keep making huge errors like they do, especially when they've got a screen in front of them. And I mean, like Lee said, I think Forrest basically, after the header come off Pluto, Lee's probably bang on that. Nick DeMarco's probably said, let me write you an actual statement. And yeah, I mean, I'm not seeing the other two statements actually because it's statement, isn't it? But I see, you can see the factors behind why it's led to this because, you know, some of the decisions to have three decent, like I said, the solid penalty shots, like I said earlier, not get one. Usually the law of averages is you get one, wouldn't you? It's borderline like the Chelsea-Barcelona game from back in the day. I was expecting one of our players to say it's a disgrace to the camera at the end, but I think Nico Williams did that in his post-match.
Do you know what's quite funny? I mean, Rhys, I've never heard a rant from you in my life, so that was quite enjoyable. But the funny thing is as well is I've completely lost train of thought, but that post as well. Now I was saying to Christian earlier, like, well, I looked at it at maybe like 1 or 2 o'clock when I was going to make my notes for the pod. It had 40 million views, and then it's getting talked about nation and worldwide. Mate, probably
it was before, on the show. It was on the Jeremy Vine show on Radio 2 today. It was actually an actual talking topic. And this is usually like topics of like community interests or doctors and all this. It was actually on there. I thought,
how did Jeremy Vine manage to talk about it without getting cycling involved?
Jeremy Vine actually said that two of the three were penalties, ironically. So,
not an easy one. Yeah, but see you next Tuesday every now and then as well.
So, yeah, I mean, it has gone everywhere. But and then you get, like, notions trotted out, like, they wouldn't even be in the Prem if it wasn't for a bad decision. Well, yeah, take it back to two games ago and see the Stonewall penalty we got denied at Bournemouth by guess who? Guess who was the referee that day? Stuart Atwell, who every time he refs us, we get an issue with him. The Man United game this season, couldn't wait to send Worrell off, couldn't wait to give a penalty to get United out of jail. Same with the VAR yesterday in the FA Cup final, because that goal would have got given if it was United. And then you also go back to when he first come on the scene with Forrest, when the famous Derby Forrest game, I think it was 2009, where he absolutely lost control that much. It's still one of the worst referee performances I've ever seen, where he got to a point, he was disallowing goals for nothing, he was giving penalties for nothing. He sent McGugan off for a yellow card challenge. Awful referee. And it does not surprise me that we're in this situation, that he was VAR yesterday and we've got a problem. And Taylor as well, he's useless as well.
Before Christian comes in, Lee, go on. What have you got to say?
I'm going to close the book on this now. My final point on this is, I just think the problem that the Premier League have got is they've made, with their match officials, they've made it a closed shop. Now, what I mean by that is when they get up there, they're in. That's it. There's no repercussion if they're consistently bad. You look at I think of the best ref we've had this season, and I'm not just saying it because we beat Man United, but I thought Tim Robinson was really good. I'd love to know how many Prem games he's actually done this season, because I don't think it's many since he came up from the Championship. Tom Bramall seems to be fourth man every week. He's been to Japan. He's on the FIFA list already. Young, up and coming. Hardly getting any middles. And the reason they're not getting these middles and these opportunities, it's like players. Like we've said about Mbamidele, if he plays and he has a run of games, he might make a few mistakes. These young ones might make a few mistakes, but eventually, if they're that good, with a consistent run of Prem middles, they'll get better. But because the likes of Stuart Atwell, Anthony Taylor, keep getting middles and gigs on these top games, then the standards won't improve. And I've thought long and hard about a solution to it. Why is this such an ignorance that once they're up there, they can't go back down if they're consistently bad? Why can't they go and do Football League games? Send them to Oxford on a Tuesday night if they're consistently bad. I'm not saying I have a bit of a problem with sacking someone for one mistake, but if it's a consistent set of mistakes, I'd be up for the sack if I made consistent mistakes in my job, as would you three guys. I just don't understand why it's such a closed shop on the Premier League when it comes to referees.
I can't sack myself, mate.
Christian, you've been waiting patiently, and I'm sure the volcano might erupt eventually. To add to whatever you're going to say, I wanted to ask, because someone asked it in the comments, what have you made of the FA then, in also I'm not going to say an Uno reverse card, but an almost playback in terms of, well, they now are investigating what Nuno, Nottingham Forest and Mark Clattenburg and Nico Williams have said, and what have you. I'm interested to hear what you've got to say on that issue as well as the other issue.
I mean, that's not really a surprise, is it? I mean, it's not like, you know, on FM where if you correctly call the decision wrong, you get FA silent over so-and-so criticism. It's not like that. They're very thin-skinned, the FA. And, you know, it's very much a boys' club. They don't like it if you say anything that might be hurty-hurty or the truth, in other words. So that was inevitable. I imagine Marinakis will have to sign a few checks this week. But in all honesty, I'd say it's worth it. I mean, for what, like I sort of touched upon earlier, I mean, to follow on, Reece is bang on, by the way, for what he said. Like, we've done everything right. We've gone through all the official channels. We tried that. We got laughed at. We got derided. We were told to get on with it and get a grip, move on. So, okay, fine. So Forest actually took a very self-aware approach, going, you know what? Maybe we are the problem. Maybe we are saying too much. We are appealing and complaining too much. We'll actually get an ex-referee in who knows when we should and shouldn't complain because, you know, football's an emotive sport. Every time there's a like snap 50-50, you're going to call it your way, aren't you? And then say the ref's a clown for not giving it if it goes against you. Maybe if you stop doing that, we'll get someone who actually knows what you're talking about, and then, you know, we'll then appeal only when necessary. That's how I saw the whole Clatterberg thing anyway. We've done that, and we're still being shafted, and we're still being ignored, we're still being laughed at, we're still being derided. So what next? What left is there? What else can we do at this point? Because if you look at Gary O'Neill, for example, at Wolves, I know he's a media darling and all that, and they go, oh, poor Gary, oh, he's had it again. Oh, he's had it rough this season. What a job he's done, blah, blah, blah. Like, we all know that like, it doesn't really matter too much because it's just like they don't, it gets forgotten about. It's yesterday's chip wrapper when it comes to that. Like, it's just, it's in the news for a split second and then it goes again. And he's sort of like, oh, yeah, Wolves got done again yesterday. Oh, no, what a sad mistake. Oh, yeah, by the way, what else is happening? Oh, we're just going to antagonise this, like, local fan base now on whatever radio station you're listening to. But at least with what Forest have done, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that, you know, calling a ref or inferring a ref is on the take is necessarily fair. Although, again, I understand the fury behind it. But look at what it's done. Like we've had pundits this morning, like I listened to the rest of football this morning, and we had like Shearer and Richards having a massive pop at us. And then they went, well, actually, hang on a minute. We have to see it from their perspective. Why are they complaining? And there's a 5-minute segment about how we've been done by referees repeatedly and how angry we are. Like, you know, it's actually raised the issue, which is what we've tried to do all season repeatedly. I think the frustrating thing for me is that we've seen, you know, Arteta after the Newcastle game when they lost 1-0. And he called the referee a disgrace and whatever else. And after that, the referees have basically been in his pocket. When Klopp wanted that game replayed, and Jamie Carragher also wanted that game replayed, coincidentally, of course he did, because it was a crime against football, its goal couldn't stand, and it's catastrophe, blah, 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 blah.
He said he didn't say that. But
oh,
say,
that's
yeah.
Nonsense. He wasn't exactly not saying it either, was he? Let's be real. He was like, oh, you know, Jurgen's done this, Liverpool's done that, my mates, whatever, my old club. Like, we've seen this film before. And you know, that was fine. But when it's us who, you know, just want a fair process, the same for every team, we're an issue. We're a problem. And I just find it so hypocritical and so funny. Neville as well. I mean, who put 50p in him? Like, half his bloody medals have been won because refs were terrified of Manchester United and Alex Ferguson. And that's why he's so protective over them, because he knows they're his mates. Like, that organisation are his friends. Like, the whole thing is just so funny. Like, ever since we've been promoted, ever since we signed Jesse Lingard, the Premier League realised we weren't at, and teams and fan bases realised we weren't here to make up the numbers. We actually wanted to try and compete in Senna's division. That, like, backs have been against us. They've, like, stances have sharpened. And this is just the latest incident, I'm afraid. Like, I don't, I think, like, we've hit melting point. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, I think I can count two incidents this season where we've maybe been a bit fortunate. There was the one where Turner volleyed Wisser into the top ends of Brian Clough stands, which, to be fair, had he been sent off, that actually would have done us a favour. So you can argue there. We were actually shafted by him not being sent off because we had to play in the next week. And And then the other one was maybe the Burnley game, where it was the handball and Sander Berg. Okay, fair enough. That's two. Look at all the ones we've had. The Man United game, the farce from that, the body red card. You could argue there was a penalty on Yates against Everton when we lost 1-0 there yesterday. The Brighton red card. Like James Maddison punching someone in the stomach and not being sent off for it. There have been so many which have been beyond comprehension, which haven't been like capitalised on. I reckon you could like say to us, if you like, take the point deduction, if you actually give us a fair referee for the season, we're probably miles clear anyway. Like, that's how bad it's been this season. Like, there'll be a lot of, if Forest go down, which, you know, in a serious topic, I strongly suspect we will, given what's going to happen. But, you know, if we go down, there'll be a lot of things that we look at this season. Yeah, another one, Ivan Toney moving the ball. Okay, fair enough. You can argue Matt Turner, like, being a total...
Tyro penalty against Newcastle.
Yeah, the Tyro penalty against Newcastle.
Loads, that's, mate.
That was 2-2 at that point, and we lost that game 3-2. Like, you look at all these incidents over... Like, again, we've had more incidents this season than we have in the last 5 years. And, you know, if we had a fair officiating where, or even officiating from 10 years ago, because it does seem as if UK officials have just gone, like, down the pan massively. If we had, like, you know, that would have outlaid any points deduction, because we've lost so many more points from terrible decisions than we have done from any from overspending or playing Matt Turner in goal. That's just the bottom line of it. So, to be honest, I know it's as controversial as it is. Like, I have issue with the club maybe going to that extent. But I have no issue with the club doing that, because it's about time. I'm sick and tired of it being the same conversation every single week. Oh, Forest have been shafted again. Forest have been done again. Never mind, what's next? At least it's staying in conversation this time. And at least next time, actually apply some pressure on referees. So when they do make a mistake at the season in the next four games, which will happen, because, you know, it's not entirely beyond the realms of possibility they actually do want us to go down, especially after this. Like, we are going to get bad decisions over the next four games. At least there'll be more highlighted. It'll be like, oh, you know, hang on, it's happening again. Forest got a point again. Just raise the issue. That's all we've done. So,
of course it's going to happen again, because they're absolutely desperate for Luton to stay up for their script.
That's how it feels. Yeah.
It'll be, oh, yeah, what a lovely, lovely story it is. Look at Luton, look, come up and spend absolute pennies. Oh, they've stayed up against all the odds. They fight every week, despite the fact they got battered by Brentford at home on Saturday. Oh, look, what a lovely, lovely story before dropping out of the league next season, bottom on 15 points, never to be seen again in this league. Like, the likes of Huddersfield and Blackpool and the rest of them. Because that's what they want. I was expecting a Simon Jordan comment for the FA, Christian, can't find the backside with both hands in a funnel is what he says about the FA. So, yeah.
I mean, just to finish it off in some respects, it's just like, well, it's kind of left me in a bit of a bittersweet kind of feeling, because if we stay up, I kind of think, well, great, we're in the Premier League and it's beneficial to Nottingham Forest Football Club. But at the same time, I'm like, have we got to go for another season of that? It's just it's been so sad to support the team this season. Last season, we had no expectations of staying up. We got laughed at because we signed about a million players and there was no expectations to stay up. So it was like, it was so joyous and everything. When we beat Arsenal, I was so happy. I was like, yes, another season. We're going to really kick on this season. I get it. We've been really below par in some aspects, but everything else has just been so boring. It's really killed like my love for the Premier League. It's really made me think it's so overrated. But I still find myself wanting to stay in this league, because why would you not? As well, at the same time,
exactly. You want your team to compete at the top level. But the thing for me is like, it's not. This has been one of the most disappointing seasons I've had supporting Forest, but not for the reasons on the pitch. I mean, the fact to be like, I've been supporting Forest since 1999. Like, being in trouble was part of our bread and butter, really, for me. Like, whether we're struggling against teams like Preston or Blackburn or Birmingham or whoever it may be, like, at least we're doing that in a league higher, is the way I see it. Like, we struggle's just been part and parcel of the Forest fan over the last 25, 30 years or so. So it doesn't really matter too much. But what's got me is that everything that's gone with it this season has been a complete write-off. I mean, like, you know, we've sacked a club legend. We've hired someone in his place who, you know, is just like, has a charisma bypass. He does it completely cold to the fans. Like, you know, we all want this Forest to kick on. Yeah, fine. It doesn't all happen that way. The refereeing decisions we've had this season, like the way the toxicity among the fan base, the way the club have shafted the fans with a season ticket thing, like, it's just the whole thing just has a sour taste in my mouth. That isn't necessarily Premier League football. That's just Forest just doing terrible Forest things. But like, yeah, let's put it this way. Would you rather like give me that win over Man United this season and Newcastle, over 10, 15 wins in a championship that we would expect to win next season if we went down with a £100 million squad. Like, I was, like, you want to achieve the top level. And the highs, like Reece said this before in the podcast, like, the highs are so high in this league. Like, when you actually claim a win, when you do well, it feels so good because of where we've been before and, like, where we want to be in the future. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to playing, like, you know, slumming it out and hoping Blackburn lose on the last day of the season to stay in the league. I don't want that. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of, like, rose-tinted specs. Look at what we've been before. We've had a lot of crap. So many relegation fights. So many, like, near misses. Like time where, like, Forest were like, oh, we might be good for playoffs this season. Someone somewhere pulls the plug, whether it's Fawaz, whether it's selling a player, whatever. We've had so much disappointment in the EFL. Like, if we're going to have disappointment being a Forest fan, I'd at least rather it be in the Premier League, if I'm being perfectly honest, than I would be back down there.
I'm going to really struggle to get a clip out of this bloody podcast for the Twitter. Yeah, I'll tell you that. It's been sensational, guys. Sensational.
I mean, coming away from that game, I say it's the first time I felt coming away from a game thinking, why the hell am I bothering here? And you think that in terms of because of the performance has been bad, but just because you think it's not even a fair game, this end.
That's why
people will probably pine for the championship for a bit, because at least you can say with the championship, oh yeah, it's a referee, he's made an honest mistake. It's not two of them having an all boys club ordering a pizza instead of doing VAR. I mean, as well, like you look at last season, you look at the three teams who went down, you know, Saints had that really good period, didn't they, when they were buying and selling players, got into Europe, I think, a couple of times. Got to a League Cup final. That obviously they went down. Leeds are a massive club, went back down, and Leicester won the Premier League only a few years before. And look at some of the players they had. I mean, this season you look at the bottom three, and Sheffield United have been a disaster all season. Burnley have come up playing this pretty football, thought they could play it in the Prem, and to be fair, are still in it. To be fair to them, but they've been on the majority, been hammered a lot, and then you've got little old Luton, haven't you? It's not like the three teams who went down this season. That's why it probably felt as good last season as well. I'm saying, as Christian, I don't want to drop back into the championship because, you know, it'll make our rivals down the road summer as well, is one of the main points now, because they're going to go up on Sunday, I think it is. That is happening, unfortunately. It's going to happen at some point because that League One is, you've got a few half biggest clubs and the rest are just service stations and race courses propping up the rest of the division. So, if we stay up, it will absolutely boil everybody's piss. And that's why I want to stay in this league. And I will savour every minute if we do. And I hope.
I'll be on that train as well. It's just, I just wanted to tell you where I was going.
You saw that yesterday by Everton celebrations. They boo the Premier League anthem. It's all corrupt. This league's corrupt. This league's that. This league's this. They were going mental because they want to stay in it.
They applauded our Anthony Taylor chant, and then they applauded our Premier League corruptors chuff. So
we all want to stay in it because in England, that's it. That's the only way you stay relevant is being in the Premier League.
Of course you do. Let's move on. We've got Man City. I'm sure this will be quite quick and brief. Let's start with yourself, Lee. I can't imagine there being much optimism, but let's try and have some in some capacity at least.
Optimism. Man City, Christ.
Hey, we got a point last season, so that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that's a positive. And Chris Wood's even better now, so he might score twice this year.
The 6-2 loss.
I mean, it's probably the worst case scenario that they've gone out of the Champions League for us, isn't it, really?
They do have a little game on Thursday night against Brighton, which is a saving grace, I guess.
I've said it for ages about City. They're probably the only side. They are the only side in the Prem that could change 11 players and probably still win the league. I think we're going to lose, aren't we? It's going to be a game that's it's going to be interesting because we're not really in a situation where. Would you risk your top players against City, knowing that you've got Sheffield United, who might already be relegated? I don't know. Can they be relegated before we play the match? I'm not sure. It's in an ideal world, you'd love to do that, but we could desperately do the points, and obviously it is a home game. So, yeah, difficult. I think we'll lose. I do think we'll score. I'll go 3-1. I think we'll lose 3-1.
Okay. Christian?
Man City at home. Yeah, I mean, I'm not fooled by their tiredness. I know they sort of made hard work of Chelsea and probably should have lost that game, really. But they're in kill mode now, Man City. They'll look to make it 4 in a row. I think they'll win 3-0.
Fair enough. Rhys?
Yeah, I mean, the only little positive, isn't it, is that they've got a game Thursday night, which is it away at Brighton, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, will be a tough game for them. Brighton always give teams a go, don't they? So be a tough game for them. I'm sure Pep will be having their luxury travel back to Manchester, will be whinging because they've got to play 2 games in 4 days. This is a price. I just don't get some football managers sometimes, because this is the price of success. You have to play games to win stuff. The mind boggles, but especially on the wages they're on as well. It's going to be ridiculously tough, isn't it? I mean, I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen the clip of the game on the City documentary as of Rodri going absolutely ballistic at his team, and then he obviously got sent off in the reverse, so I'm sure he'll come out the cells like Dregs Tatum on the Simpsons with a point to kind of prove against us being the best CDM in the world as well. I'm sure he'll be up for it, as I'm sure they all will, because like Christian said, City at this time of the season are relentless. This is the business end, and they know how to do the business, don't they? So you'd have to be ever the optimist to think we are going to get something. I'd love to say I can see us getting something, but I can't. If you're punting on Forest to get anything, you're just doing it out of pure optimism, which I admire. You've got to go into it with a little bit of optimism. And, I will disagree with Lee. You've got to play your strongest team, because you can't just write games off, unfortunately. Because, last year, who would have thought? I know City missed chance in that game, but who would have thought we got a point that day? We did. So,
I was playing devil's advocate. I think it's just a nice idea, isn't it? I suppose.
Something else to touch on as well about this with the Premier League wanting Luton to stay up. It's funny how all their games until the last day before ours, all 4, which obviously counting this Saturday. So, that don't sit right with me as well, personally. But, hopefully Wolves can do the business over them, because it's a straight shootout now between us and Luton for me. Everton have gone after yesterday. Hopefully Wolves can do the business. That attack. And then if we lose to City, we think, well, we're still a point ahead. We might get a point back in midweek. And then we're into the last 3 games where Sheffield United, we've got to go there and beat them. Simple as that. Like I said, Chelsea are a basket case. You don't know. Last home game atmosphere should be up. And then the time the last day comes, you're kind of hoping you're safe. But, we'll have to see. But 2-0 City for me, mate. Don't dare ask me who do you think their main threat is, because they've got so many.
I know. I'm in the same kind of boat as you guys. It's going to be incredibly tough. I think if we can take kind of a page out of last season's book in terms of trying to be hard to beat and kind of catch Erling Haaland on an absolute stinker of a day. I mean, he's not having this. I mean, he's still scored like 20 odd goals this season. He's still having a stinker of a season, weirdly enough. If you want to call it
something
that.
To note, Adam, just quickly as well, is at the minute, I know this could change, because if a Luton win would mean we'd be 2 points behind them, but at the minute, our goal difference is an extra point.
Yeah. So, agreed.
Ideally, we don't want to go into that game and get absolutely tranced.
Please not this again. Weekend. Please not goal different. We've had this before. We all remember the Stoke debacle. Well, I don't want to even hear those words on this podcast.
The one little thing I will caveat before we do finish is that Arsenal and Liverpool both play before City. And I know Man City have been in so many pressurised games, so I can't imagine...
It's off the ducks back for them.
Absolutely, but like at the same time, you've kind of just got to have a little hope that there's some sort of seed of doubt. But I can't imagine it. But
last season we created chance that game and we scored from it.
I think as a football fan with my thinking cap on, I think we'll lose 2-0 as well. Lee, before we finish, what more have you got to say?
I have just thought of something else positive. By the time we play City, we will have been given all 4 points back because we've been absolutely shafted this season. So we might even be safe. We might be looking forward to the beach.
We'll probably take four more for that tweet alone.
But yeah, probably.
It'd kind of be nice to have, if them 4 points on our Thursday would be five clean, you'd think, well, City are rocking up on Sunday. We'd rather them win the league than Liverpool. If we lose to them, we see a really good game. We put ourselves about with, and they produce some good footballers. Football fans, we can kind of go in and think, well, fair enough, but yeah. We're going to kind of needing something, don't we, unfortunately?
Definitely. Well, that will be all for now. Thank you very much for everyone joining us. We had a peak of just over 100 people. It's really nice to see on a Monday evening. I know there's obviously other podcast content out there, and I know a bit more popular than us, unfortunately, but I think we offer a nice balanced view here over on Redside HQ. Thank you very much as ever for joining us, getting as you slept on it thoughts. We'll perhaps see you midweek for a City preview, but if not, there'll be another Monday evening afternoon review of the City game where hopefully something positive has come out. Maybe hopefully we can talk about maybe some points being given back. And unfortunately, really hope, I mean, I hate to say this, we hope that Wolves also beat Luton at the weekend. And I don't like relying on other results, but it's come to it, hasn't it? So we'll take care. Have a good week, everyone. We'll see you soon. And come on, you Reds.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.